Welcome to the Future of Education podcast. Here's our host, the co-founder of 2-Hour Learning, Mackenzie Price.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Future of Education. I'm Mackenzie Price. Joining me today is Bill Salek. He is the CTO at Brainly, which is leading the AI revolution in education, which I love. That's music to my ears. Known as the top app for homework help, Brainly's AI-powered knowledge base gives every student 24/7 access to personalized learning assistance tailored to their homework. Yesterday, Bill and I talked about how AI can be used for kids to do their homework. Today, we're going to discuss what AI in the classroom can and maybe should look like. So here's my conversation with Bill Salek, the CTO at Brainly. So Bill, it was great to get to talk to you about what Brainly does in terms of helping kids with homework. And more importantly than that, helping connect and get to know, what does a kid understand? Why are they asking that question? How can they connect it with other things? I think that's tapping into what, you know, some of the power of AI is in order to really make knowledge learning come alive for kids and be more interesting. But the next question, which I think is an even bigger one, is we think about what should AI in the classroom look like? And you were about to tell me kind of what you believe Brainly's vision is for it. I would love to hear, and I've got a strong point of view myself, so I'll be excited to see if we match up on that. How do you think AI should be used in the classroom?
Well, I think, okay, so three sort of big categories of opportunities, and then I'll jump into what we're actually doing about it.
Great.
I think that, you know, one category of opportunity is integrating it as a formal part of the curriculum. And this is to say that we need to teach kids how to use AI. So parents can start doing this at home. It's not, there's many school systems, many school districts that don't actually have this as a formal part of their curriculum. But if you think about the purpose of education, and here maybe it's good to all remind ourselves, why do we have education? Why do we make this investment as a society? We want to empower our citizens, our individuals, with knowledge, skills, and opportunities to lead productive and fulfilling lives. So we make this investment so that our young citizens can turn into adult citizens that positively contribute to society and economy. If we know, and certainly it's my opinion, that AI is going to become more pervasive, it's going to be more pervasive in the workforce, more pervasive in our private lives in terms of the things that we interact with, I think it will be just as important to understand how to use AI safely and responsibly and effectively. That will be just as an important skill for the next 50 years as reading and writing has been for the past 50 years.
Absolutely.
So that's one big category of opportunity. It's AI literacy, for lack of a better term. We can consider that AI literacy. But then there's a whole bunch of opportunities in how we assess knowledge in schools. So having better ways to know whether a student has mastered the topic, mastered the information. So the way that we do it today is the best way that we've ever done it. We're certainly not going backwards in terms of our competence and being able to test and assess kids. But AI opens up this whole new world of opportunities around immersive assessment, like being able to do simulations. So we talked a little bit about the product that you're building and you gave me an example from history. Imagine that we were doing an assessment on a American Revolution unit, and we put the student in a scenario where they are tasked with being part of the Committee of Five that's debating the final form of the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. And we tasked this student with being able to participate and direct the outcome to be the Declaration of Independence that we have today. Now, that requires a lot of recall and understanding of the things that the Declaration of Independence, the things that it's delivering on today in its final form, but then being able to interpret those conversations as part of that roundtable, as part of that debate in the simulation, and be able to interpret those conversations and direct those outcomes towards the Declaration of Independence that we have today. Like, this is a very complex simulation, which can better assess whether or not the student fully understands the concepts around the American Revolution and the Declaration of Independence than, let's just say, like a 10-question multiple choice test. Mm-hmm. That's not possible to do easily today, or easily 5 years ago. Today, it's way easier than it ever has been. And in the future, I think, you know, we'll see more assessments like this that are immersive simulations. And then the last category is tools and systems to improve the learning experience. And this is where we're focused right now. And we think that there's a lot of opportunities to be able to put tools in students' hands and in teachers' hands that help them close the gaps in their existing classroom ecosystem. And I say ecosystem because, again, we've studied this problem a lot, spent several years studying these problems of how classrooms work. And they are ecosystems. They're networks of complex systems. And the teacher is the conductor and the director of these systems. And the teacher is very adaptive. They have to be adaptive to be able to meet the needs of the classrooms and the individual students that can change year over year, but also just class to class, the needs can change. So the teachers are very adaptive. And when we think about like how can technology be successful in the classroom, we have to accept that there is no one classroom profile. The technology itself has to learn and be adaptive to the ecosystem that it's put in. And it also has to be adaptive to the students' needs. And the way that we say this is that the technology, the way we say this simply, is that the technology should support the teacher in helping the student. So it should learn the way that the teacher's teaching. It should be an assistant to the teacher, and it should learn the student's needs and adapt to those and be able to fill those learning gaps. We're building technology today that is essentially an AI tutor that can be in every student's pocket, that will live with them 24/7, that's configured by the teacher, that's trained by the teacher to teach their way, to teach their content, but is available to the student 24/7 and will learn the student's strengths and weaknesses and be able to help that student where they need help, when they need help at any time. We think this is a really big and important thing, to not have a one-size-fits-all solution that tries to teach the content better than the teacher, but actually works with the teacher and the student to create their shared outcome, their shared goal of the student being successful.
So what do you believe that looks like in the classroom then? If you've got this AI tutor that is connected to each student, what does a typical lesson experience look like then? Is the teacher still moving at the same pace for all students in terms of teaching material, or is there a world where kids can go at their own pace? How do you see that?
Yeah, so that touches on some important area that I think we need to improve upon in the classroom, and that is the feedback loops. So in the private sector, we have all of these amazing tools that we can just buy and plug into our data. And modern business culture is very much data informed. So we use these tools to get recommendations and to surface opportunities and to make decisions. This is just part of how we work. It's our culture. When you go over to education, we don't have that same investment in tooling and technology for teachers. But I think it's possible now. It's far less expensive, far more readily available with AI advancements that we've had in the last 2 years. And those teachers need those feedback loops. They need that data. They need recommender systems that can flag and send early warnings when a student is struggling. So how we imagine this is that the teacher's teaching their lesson. Nothing needs to change on day one, right? The teacher can teach as normal. However, the teacher has configured an AI tutor that knows the content that the teacher's teaching. The teacher has configured the AI tutor to teach in the way that the teacher wants the AI tutor to teach, meaning it can be a little bit more constructivist. It can be a little bit more direct instruction. They can choose those instruction methodologies and so that the AI tutor is supporting how they would teach in the classroom should the student ask them the question. So the student has this tool in their pocket, but the teacher's teaching as normal. And when the student goes to do classwork or let's say goes home to do homework, the teacher's not there. But this AI tutor is, and it's a proxy to the way that the teacher would answer the question. It knows the content. It's configured to respond in the way that the teacher supports and has configured it. And this AI tutor is there to help coach the student through their problems. And it, just like our best teachers do, it learns what the student is good at and not good at. And it's able to learn why the student's asking the question they're asking now, you know, very likely relying upon historical signals to say, well, you know, I got a bunch of questions around this foundational concept last week that we're now building upon. The student didn't quite get that a week ago and now is asking questions. We should go back and we should fill in some of that foundational knowledge as we're answering the questions the student's asking today. This is what our best teachers do, and the AI tutor that we're building can do this as well.
That's very cool. What about the bad teachers though? Because you often talk about the AI tutor will teach the way that teacher wants it to. What about the bad teachers? Which, by the way, there's more and more of them out there.
The AI tutor has very, very safe defaults, and the options or the choices that a teacher can make in configuring it all of them are valid. There is no way to make our AI tutor a bad AI tutor.
Okay, so it kind of brings teachers up. It like maybe a teacher who's not great, it can improve a teacher's abilities as well, right? When the teacher is working with this system.
It will definitely fill the gap where the teacher is creating a gap, maybe by their lack of attention or their lack of experience. The AI tutor can help fill the gap, because ultimately what that lack of experience or lack of delivery by the teacher is creating is a poor understanding in the student of the topic they're trying to learn. The AI tutor is there to understand that the student is struggling and help fill that gap.
Okay. That's very interesting. I agree with you about the fact that I think in the next 5 years, every student will have an AI tutor in their pocket, right? That's something that can absolutely do that. I think it's a lot closer than we maybe, you know, people would think it was. It's certainly closer than any classroom in the country currently looks, right? They're not doing that now. I think where I disagree is I think the role of the teacher is going to fundamentally change. I think AI can do a fundamentally better job of teaching a kid than a teacher can, teaching 25 kids and doing that. So I kind of look at it as, instead of a hybrid, it's like we need to fundamentally change the role of the teacher in the schools that we have. We have changed that, where they don't do any academic teaching whatsoever. They focus on motivational support. And we let AI kind of handle all the rest of the teaching in order to provide that. But of course, that's a scary notion for a lot of people, right? To think about, what does that look like? Do you think that there's ways that parents and the public in general are going to get more comfortable with this idea of, you know, every kid in the world having an AI tutor?
I think that parents and the general population will get more comfortable as they see the value. And I think we all need to be very goal and outcome focused here. Mm-hmm. You know, to the point of how much is too much or how much is too little, I think it changes based on the locale. I think that certain schools and certain classrooms, you need a different type of support than others. And certainly there are schools and systems which are severely under-resourced, or the teachers aren't at the level that they need to be to support the students. And here we can rely upon technology more and more for that delivery and for filling those gaps. But there's also schools with amazing teachers who can't spend the time that they want to spend one-on-one with every student. And here's where I see that technology can play a role and create those feedback loops, so those amazing teachers can get that, you know, one-on-one time, or at least a proxy for the one-on-one time, so that they can then take in that information and make decisions and choices to help that student succeed even more. But I think in every school system that I've looked at, there is this role of support that you've mentioned. Even when we replace the teacher from the instruction delivery point of view, the teacher in the classroom does more than just instruction delivery. The teacher is creating an environment that promotes learning and can be as much of a cheerleader and a coach as they can be an instructional delivery mechanism. And that's a very important part of schools that I think I undervalued when I went to school, but I've learned is one of the biggest parts of a teacher's job that I don't know that technology can replace.
You know, and I think you're exactly right. I don't believe technology can replace that. I think that is the highest use and value of a human, right? Is to connect with that child and be able to understand what makes them tick, what gets them frustrated, what gets them excited, what are their interests, right? And if you think about the idea of, you know, an AI tutor that is taking the curriculum that a student needs to learn, combining it with the knowledge graph of what a kid does know and doesn't know. And then thirdly, their interests, like what does a kid actually care about? What does he enjoy? And how can you connect whatever they're learning in that kind of speak that works? And then you have we call the adults in our schools guides, but that teacher role is coming in and connecting to figure out, okay, what can help ignite this flame of getting a kid excited. I think that's the key. And I talk to teachers all the time. And I think, you know, teachers would say across the board, they got into this field to make a positive impact on young people. They didn't necessarily get into it to create lesson plans and grade homework, you know, and do papers and stuff like that. They want to fundamentally affect people's lives. And I think in this new world that we're going to be in, AI is it's a superpower tool that can free up teachers' ability to be able to really connect with their students and provide them with so much information. You know, we always say that the AI information we have on students, it's like doing a CAT scan on their brain, right? We know exactly, like as you mentioned, the puzzle pieces. We know which puzzle pieces they don't have. We know which puzzle pieces they put on their board, but they're maybe not quite fitting right, right? And how to go about changing that. And I think what's really exciting about this future is that it's going to really empower human intelligence, right? Both in knowledge acquisition, as well as transforming the role that humans play with young people and connecting into that motivation, which I think is 90% of what makes a learner happen is they've got to be a motivated student. So it's very exciting. When do you think we're going to see the Brainly AI tutor in students' pockets?
So we are right now, and by right now, I mean literally this week, starting to test the teacher experience with a small group of teachers. Depending on how that goes, we may speed up this effort and do larger scale testing where we actually have teachers using it with students in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So we have the student side of the experience, which by the way, you know, this particular product, when we launch it, individuals like parents and students can sign up themselves. They don't need a teacher. We've designed it to be used in the classroom with teachers, but we didn't want to depend upon that. So anybody can get their hands on it who wants it.
Great.
But depending on how the testing goes over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're either going to go back to some bug fixing and rethinking of a few things, or we're going to go into large scale testing. Now, at the same time, we're in talks with some very interesting opportunities outside of the US for large scale deployment. So it's very possible that we may actually see this deployed within a national education system outside of the US before we see it in the US at large scale. But that's super exciting. And I think that will also create an opportunity to learn a lot in a large scale environment that we can bring back to the US and help improve the US version of the product as well.
I love it. I'm so excited to see what Brainly is going to be doing. I love the forward vision. And I think this is something where we're really going to see some transformation in classrooms as a result of that. So it's fun to be able to see these giant leap forward product innovations, right? That really fundamentally change the education experience, you know, as opposed to just kind of, you know, let's pour a little bit more resource into the same bucket we've done, you know, on that. So good work, Bill. Thank you for your time. And I'm excited to follow along and see how you guys do.
Thanks. This is a fun conversation.
Awesome. Well, that wraps up this episode of Future of Education. Thanks to Bill Salek, CTO at Brainly, for joining me. If you want to hear more from him, go visit Brainly's website at brainly.com. Check it out for your kid. They can literally use it tonight as they are working on things they do. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. My Instagram handle is at 2hourlearning, or search for Future of Education on YouTube. And if you haven't subscribed yet, we're going to publish podcast episodes pretty regularly. So hit that subscribe button in your podcast app. We'll be back in your feed tomorrow. That's all for today. But until next time, remember, kids are limitless, and our job is to help unlock their potential.